Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, for I am in the Father, and the Father in me. I and my Father are one. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. When the Paraclete is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And that's from the 14th chapter of John. I want to follow that up with something from the 4th chapter of Revelation. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we've heard from the Gospel of John, and we've heard from the Apocalypse of St. John the Divine, the Revelation. And I want to relate a third story to you. And this story begins with a mystery. It's a story, it's a Brothers Grimm story. A story collected, a folktale collected by Brothers Grimm in the 19th century. And hopefully you'll be able to see why I am telling it as I tell it. Anyway, it starts with a mystery. And that mystery is the mystery of the dancing shoes that are worn out every night by the 12 princesses of the kingdom. So, Here's how it goes. The king discovered that every night the shoes of the princesses that were fine during the day, overnight had become worn out to nothing by the next morning. The king thought he must get to the bottom of this. So the princesses all slept in one room. And so it was nothing for the king to simply lock them in the room, which he did. He locked the princesses in the room, but still the shoes were being worn out every night. So the king thought he would look at the shoes and find out how they were being worn out. And lo and behold, as he brought the shoes out and he looked at them one by one, he noticed that they had the telltale markings of shoes that had been danced in to exhaustion. And so he realized that the princesses were dancing every night. But he couldn't work it out. He had locked them in their room. How were they able to dance in their shoes to the point where their shoes were worn out each and every night when he had locked the door to their room himself? So he put out a call. Hear ye, hear ye. Let anyone who can solve the mystery of the princess's shoes know that you may have half the kingdom. But then in small print it said, you have precisely 3 days to discover why the shoes are being worn out and put a stop to it, or you shall go to the executioner's block. And at first, the proclamation was only sent out to princes. And the princes came. The first prince came, but alas, fell asleep on the very first night and never woke up. He, unfortunately, went to the executioner's block. The second prince also came. He stayed awake until he too fell asleep. And even though he tried a second night and a third night, each night he fell asleep and went to the executioner's block. By this time, the demand to discover what had happened to the shoes had dropped a bit. There weren't too many princes who were looking to have their heads chopped off. So the proclamation continued to apply, but no one wanted to take it up. So there were a dearth of takers. And it was in this scenario that our hero, a lame soldier who had seen action in one of the wars, was sitting at table and talking to the woman who ran the shop. Perhaps I should have a go at figuring out the mystery of the shoes, he said to the woman. The woman looked at him closely, and then she said, really? He said, oh, I'm only joking. I don't want to get my head cut off. She said, no, perhaps you should come with me. And so the man went with the old woman down a flight of steps at the back of the shop and up another flight of steps at the back of the shop until he came to a small room. And in that room was a wardrobe. And the old woman went to the wardrobe and pulled out from that wardrobe the only thing that the man could see in the wardrobe, which was a cloak. She said, this, young man, this is a cloak of invisibility. And so the man said, invisibility. Really? And she said, try it on. And so he did. He could not tell whether he was invisible or not. He could not see his own hands and his own arms, but he did not know whether that was just a trick of his own imagination or what it was. She said, try it out. And so he did. He went and he pinched somebody on the arm. He plucked the hairs on the head of another person. He poked and prodded around the shop until he was satisfied that indeed he was invisible when he wore the cloak. And he said to the woman, why give this to me? And she said, I think you may be able to solve the mystery. And so he put himself forth, wrapped the cloak of invisibility up in his knapsack, put himself forth as a challenger for the king's challenge. And so he came to the room of the 12 princesses, and as he had his wits about him, he thought it strange that the other princes had been falling asleep. So when he came to the princesses, he came to them, was very polite, and he said, this is wonderful, being able to spend some time discovering the mystery. And they looked at him, but one in particular, the eldest, looked at him in the strangest of ways. Something like annoyed, something like curious, something like, he couldn't put his mind into it, something like something. She came to him with a smile and said, would you like a cup of mead? He said, oh, yes, why not? And they sat down. He smelt the mead and he thought, there's something strange going on here. How about I pretend to drink the mead? And so he did. He pretended to drink the mead and quietly poured it away. Then everyone went to bed, and the princesses all got into their bedchamber, and he too waited in the small antechamber at the edge of the bedchamber in a chair to one side. The princesses, having believed he had drunk the mead, all went off to bed gaily and happily. The soldier was waiting. He pretended to go to sleep. No sooner had he pretended to snore his head off than the oldest princess and all the other princesses appeared to get up out of the 12 beds as if in a trance. And before them, in the floor, a trapdoor was opened by the eldest princess. And a stairway descended down, down, into the subterranean levels of the palace. Well, the princesses descended one by one, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, down the stairway, and as they were descending, the soldier quickly and quietly donned his invisibility cloak, and just before the trapdoor closed behind the last princess, he grabbed it with one hand, held it up, and himself descended the stairway down into the subterranean depths. As he descended, he began to notice that the walls of the passageway were lined with precious stones and veins of silver and gold. And the deeper he got, the more he realized that the veins of silver and gold were not just ordinary veins of silver and gold set into stone. They were, in fact, trees set with leaves of emeralds and jade and many other fruit of sapphires and rubies, all hanging from these gold and silver and copper and iron trees. As he descended deeper and deeper and deeper behind the 12 princesses, until he was almost brought up short. One of the princesses ahead, the eldest, had stopped, for before her was a lake of calm, sweet water, as dark as the night sky, and as clear as crystal. Coming across the lake were 12 boats and 12 princes upon the prow of each boat. Well, when the princes arrived, they put out a hand, and each one of the princesses took the hand of the prince and stepped into the boat. The 12 boats. The soldier, lame though he was, managed right at the last minute to find his way into the boat of the youngest princess, and very quietly huddled at the back, far away from the proud standing prince and princess of the subterranean realm. The 12 boats crossed the lake, and the 24 princes and princesses disembarked at an amazingly bright and beautiful, though dark, palace on the other side. And yet there was a wonderful, joyous light that emanated from the palace, and the princes and the princesses went inside, and there was music and merriment and joviality. There was joy. And there was dancing. Within the palace walls, the prince and princesses danced gaily all night long, feeling the movement of rhythm and song. And at the end of the night, each one of the princesses' shoes had been worn right through from dancing so deeply to song. The dawn was coming. The princes bade their maids, the princesses, alight the 12 boats and sail across the lake with them. The soldier followed, this time in the eldest princess's boat, huddled in the back, covered in his cloak of invisibility. Well, they ascended the staircase upon alighting at the other side, and all crept back into bed, still as though in a trance, their shoes worn through another night. So, the soldier pretended to be asleep. He was wondering what he could do about this. He took off his cloak of invisibility and pretended to snore his head off. When morning finally came and the sun broke through the windows, the princesses arose with befuddlement at yet more shoes having been worn through, and felt how the dancing had caused their feet to become just that little bit harder, and just that little bit sorer. Well, the day wore on, and the soldier thought and thought. What could he do? That night, he again waited until everyone was asleep, having taken his own sleeping draught given to him by the eldest princess. And he started to think, well, which of the princesses should I approach? The eldest princess again offered him the sleeping draught. Again he pretended to drink it. Again they all went to bed in their 12 beds while he sat upon a chair in the corner. And again, as sleep came, they once again arose as if in a trance. Only this time, the soldier decided to draw aside the youngest princess. And so he tried to draw aside the youngest princess, but she could not be awoken. She remained deeply in trance. And so they all descended the stairwell again. They all descended down to the lake that was clear as crystal and calm as glass. And again the 12 ivory boats alighted on the shore with the 12 bright princes carrying with them diadems of jewels and gold. And thus, again, for another night of merriment, they journeyed across the lake to the other side. This time, the soldier merely waited for them to return in his cloak of invisibility. And so, again, they ascended the staircase. And again, as morning broke, the 12 princesses awoke, remembering nothing, apparently, but having just little more sorer feet. Finally, the soldier decided he would confront the fair princess, who was the eldest, because she at least seemed to know something about what was going on. And so, when she provided him with a sleeping draught, he took it, pretended to drink it, and then waited for her to arise. And when he did so, as soon as she arose, as though in a trance, he took her hand, and they both walked down the stairway together. Something inside her shifted. He could feel it. He did not know what it was, but he could feel it. When the tall, proud boats, colored like ivory, alighted upon the shore at the bottom of that fantastic descent, he kept holding her hand. And as they journeyed across the lake that was clear as crystal and calm as glass, again he held her hand, even though the prince on the boat held the other. And so, when there was time for dancing, at length, he danced with her, though his body was lame and his legs would not dance quite the right way. The princess began to waken up within the trance. Something had changed inside of her. And so, as dawn was about to break, and the princesses crossed back across the lake and ascended the stairs, he was still with the eldest princess. He was still holding hands with her. And even though he limped along beside her, he could feel her faltering. He could feel that she too had somehow missed the gate. And she was beginning to awaken. And as they climbed the stairs towards the very top, she turned and saw him as if for the first time. And she said, "Aren't you asleep?"
"You shouldn't be here." And he said, "I have come for you." And so, as dawn broke, he stood holding hands with her, and the trance was ended, and she was still awake with him. He approached the king and explained to him exactly what had been happening, exactly how the princesses had worn out their shoes. And he was rewarded with half the kingdom and became the prince, the other half of the kingdom going to the princess, of course. And thus, he saved all the princesses from endless nights of dancing and the wearing out of their shoes. The soldier and the princess were happily married, and from then on, everything seemed to work like a dream. Okay,
so that turns out to be a rather long story, and we'll come back to it again in a little while.